Well, good morning. Let's get out our Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans chapter 12. Then you can find 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and put your finger in there, because that's where we'll be going after Romans 12 as we continue this Wired for Worship series. And the title of my message today is Worship Physically, or subtitle, Let's Get Physical. And it is like that. God saying, hey, let me hear your body talk, okay? Romans chapter 12. We've all seen or heard of the word association that often a psychologist will employ for the purpose of gaining some insight into how their patient or client thinks, to see how their mind operates. For example, take the word of food. Well, what word comes to mind when you think of food? Okay, mine, burgers comes to mind. Burgers. And then take the word tasty. What word comes to mind? My mind, cheeseburgers. And take the word happiness. What comes to my mind is a Five Guys cheeseburger with bell pepper, fresh bell pepper, jalapeno pepper, tomato, lettuce, mustard, and A1 sauce on the burger. Oh, man, right now I'm so hungry. I'm going to love that stuff. It's not great for me, you know, with one stint. I don't need two. But the word association. Now, in the same way, more seriously, on a more serious note, when I say the word worship, what do you think of? For many of you, the thing that comes to your mind is you think of church, you think maybe of a sermon, you think of a music. Some may think of stained glass or prayers. If you're a pastor, you think about offerings. But you know what? When you think of worship, I wonder if these things have ever crossed your mind. Eyes, ears, mouth, hands, legs, and feet. When it comes to worship, that's probably not one of the first, none of those are probably the first words that came to any of your minds. Why? Well, because we have a tendency, as we studied last week, to think of worship simply spiritually. But as we continue this series, I want you to see and learn today that worship certainly is something that is spiritual. That's where it begins. I want you to understand today, as we will see, that it's also physical. Let me tell you how. When you look at your body, what do you see? Some of you might say, I know I say, about 20 pounds that should not be there. That's what I see. So seriously, what do you see? You tend to see skin, eyes, ears, nose, mouth, lips, physiques. In other words, when we look at our body, we tend to see the physical. But when we look at our bodies, when God sees our bodies, what does He see? God sees, as we will see in our text here, something that is to be sacrificed on an altar. God sees a temple that He lives in. And it's my hope today that as we open this passage, that we will understand that worship is not only something that we do spiritually, but it is to be manifested in our bodies physically. Even though God desires our worship to be spiritual, spiritual worship must be given a physical expression. In other words, we are to behave the way we believe. Now listen, those that are into health tell us that we need to exercise. Personally, I've never been too much into exercise. I've never been athletic or involved in sports much, as you know. As a in high school, my goal was not to be on the track team, the football team, the baseball team, or even the golf team. My goal was to be Mick Jagger. Thank God he changed my life, you know. Although he does get around still fairly well for an old guy like he is, you know. But, you know, when you look at health and what the people that are into health are saying, they talk about the importance, and we're seeing it increasingly, of a full body workout. And not only the cardiovascular, that's good. And for those of us that are heart patients, we need to build up our endurance and our, you know, our heart muscle. But it's not enough for us just to exercise our lower body. I was reading the other day, you see, we need to exercise our upper body that we might have strength physically if we are going to be healthy. Well, in the same way, you see, we need a full body workout physically to be healthier and stronger. We need to give God, as we will see here in our text, a full body worship if we are going to be healthy spiritually. In other words, we don't just worship God with the heart, the mind, and the emotions. We are to worship God literally with our bodies. And today, that's what I want you to take out the door. If you get nothing else, if you're going to fall asleep for the rest of the service, here's what I want you to get, the game changer. My body is to be wired for worship, listen, 24/7. 24/7. Believe it or not, you see, we have, the Bible has much to say, rather, about your physical body and worship. And we're going to look today at two key passages that tell us exactly how God sees our body physically and how our body is to function for His glory. And the first thing we see as we look at our text here is that I am to sacrifice my body for the purpose of holiness. The ESV translation reads, in verse 1 of Romans 12, I appeal to you therefore. Now, we've learned, right, a principle here. You all know it. Whenever there's a therefore, we always find out what it's. Okay, so why is it there? Paul is building, you see, on everything that is said in these first 11 chapters. We've been justified by faith. It's not through works and keeping rules and regulations. And he's talking about how we have been saved and all that Christ has done for us and how much he loves us. You know, we read Romans chapter 8, and it talks about nothing to separate us from the love of God, not height nor depth nor principalities or powers nor any such thing. And then because of the sacrifice of Christ, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You see, and on he goes, building on what we have in Jesus Christ. What the finished work of the cross is done. And because of all that God has done for us, because of the tremendous love that he's demonstrated to us, he's telling us then to respond. So he says, therefore, because of God's grace, we're not saved by our works, but by the grace of God. He says, brothers, by the mercies of God, remember how merciful God has been. Here's the deal. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship or your reasonable service, in the New King James. I like the way the New Living translates it. It says it like this. And so, dear brothers and sisters, there in Romans 12:1, I plead with you, give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. The Message translation, which isn't really a translation, it's a paraphrase, so I don't recommend it for in-depth study, but it's a good read sometimes, and I like the way he says it. He says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. You see, the idea here is we are to worship God in our bodies, to offer them as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Now you might ask, well, why does God want your body? Why doesn't it say offer your spirit? Well, let me just be practical with you, okay? Let me ask you a question. What is it that you can do on planet Earth without your body? Not much, right? Like you're here and your spirit's here, but your spirit's here, why? Because your body's here. You know, we're not big on out-of-body experiences, okay? Just so you know. You see, you can't really do much on planet Earth without your body. In fact, we are told even in eternity that God is going to give us, thank God for those of us, especially that are getting older, an upgraded body. Huh? I'm waiting for the upgrade, okay? I'm waiting. A heavenly body. That when we come back and rule and reign with him, we will cruise around on planet Earth in this glorified body. And so God is interested in your body. Every now and then, somebody will come up to me and they'll say, well, hey, listen, Pastor, I won't be at church next Sunday, but I want you to know that I'll be with you in spirit. You know what that means? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's worthless. I mean, just think about that. Let's put that on the proper level and in the proper perspective. Let's say that every one of you comes up and shakes my hand after a sermon and says, Pastor, I want you to know that I won't be here next week, but I'll be with you in spirit. Why would I show up? I'll be here in spirit as well. I mean, what good is that? I mean, let's try that on the job, right? Let's call your boss and say, hey, I want you to know I won't be coming into work today. Just wanted you to know that I'll be with you in spirit. He'll probably say, well, I'll be with you in spirit too when you take your body and go find another job. You see, it's not much when it comes to living life on earth, man. We are to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. That's what Paul is setting forth here. Now, usually when you think of a sacrifice, of course, and in the mindset of the Jews of the day, they thought of sacrifices being dead. But Paul changes it here and he says, no, I want you to live sacrificially. I want you to be a living sacrifice. You see, what God is saying to us here is, he wants us to live for him and to worship him by continually, that's what Paul's talking about, I die daily to my own self, to my own thing. I die daily sacrificing and using this body to live a life in such a way, submitting everything that I am to the will of God, to the Word of God. Think about the word sacrifice. When you think of sacrifice, it speaks of giving up all ownership, doesn't it? You give up all your possessions. In the Old Testament, when the people brought the lamb or the dove or whatever animal, a sacrifice they brought to the priest there. Guess what? They didn't bring, we didn't bring the whole lamb. We brought one leg. We sawed it off. And he's a three-legged lamb now cruising around the house still, but here's his leg. We're sacrificing this. That would never be the case. They didn't do that. It was always a total sacrifice with no strings attached when they offered the animal. Reminds me of a story, and you've probably heard this. I know you've heard it because I've told it before. It's like the chicken that was talking to the pig, and he said, "Hey, I got an idea. Why don't we start a restaurant?" And the pig said, "Well, what will we serve?" The chicken said, "Ham and eggs." Pig thought for a moment and said, "That's easy for you to say. You're making a contribution. I'm making a complete sacrifice." You see, God wants you to sacrifice. He wants me to sacrifice our bodies, every part of it, for His service and to live a life of holiness every day. Paul calls this a sacrifice, a spiritual act of worship. It's a reasonable thing to do. Now, how is sacrificing your body, you might say, worship? Well, I heard someone define worship this way, and I think it's as good as I've heard. It says, worship is giving all that you are to all that God is. When you offer God the sacrifice, even of your body, then you are giving Him. The implication is everything that you have. So I'm to sacrifice my body for God's holiness. Secondly, I am to see my body as God's house. Listen, it's important that people see God in our lives. And how are they going to see what's going on in our spirits unless they see our bodies responding in submission to God's authority and living lives that are holy? Hey, is that your passion today? Or is your passion just to get to heaven? It's my prayer today that for you and for me, that we will be those who have a greater passion to live a godly and holy life, because the world needs to see Jesus. And we're there to be His representatives, aren't we? And how do they see that if we're not living lives that are holy? Precious people, you know what? When it comes to holiness and studies about holiness and talk about holiness, there's not a lot of talk frequently. It's sort of like, hey, we're going to do a study on holiness next week. How many of you would go, "I ain't showing up"? It's like, hey, we're going to have a prayer meeting. Okay, just a prayer meeting. Holiness, that's going to be convicting. Yeah. Well, guess what? You didn't know, but the study today is on holiness. And listen, isn't that what is to mark our lives? We're to be different, not weird, okay? We're not to be some kind of monk locking ourselves up in some kind of monasterial kind of a thing. But we are to be a people whose values and whose lives are lived differently than that of the world. You know what? I think the tragedy is so many Christians are so busy trying to be hip and cool and blend in that we have failed here in this act of worship in our bodies. We're to sacrifice our body for holiness. May we be known as a holy people, a godly people. Secondly, we're to see our bodies as God's house. We're to see our bodies as God's house. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 in verse 19. 1 Corinthians 6, 19. Oh, yeah, the sound of Bible pages turning. I love it. God bless you. People that carry their Bibles. We know that God sees something, our body rather, as something that we are to lay on the altar of sacrifice before Him 24/7. And we understand that God not only sees us as a sacrifice, but He also sees us as His temple. Here in verse 19, Paul writing, and he says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." What's Paul saying? He's saying, hey, God sees your body in a different way. When God looks at your body, He doesn't see flesh, blood, you know, bone, hair, teeth, eyes, feet, hands, bones, and that kind of thing. God sees, Paul is saying here, a temple where He lives, a house, if you would. Now, why does Paul use that allegory here of a temple? When you go back again to the Old Testament, the central place of worship in the Old Testament, prior to the coming of Christ, was the temple. It was the spiritual headquarters of the nation of Israel. It was where they saw and met with God. It's where the priests met with God in the Holy of Holies. It's where God met with them. The temple, you see, in the Old Testament was the place of worship. If your body now, Paul is saying, is the temple of the Holy Spirit, that means, you see, God doesn't dwell anymore in buildings or things made with hands. In other words, guess what? We call this, well, let's go to the church. But guess what? Can I tell you something? Let's go into the sanctuary. That's not probably a good title or name for this place, although it's referred to in that way frequently. Because the bottom line is as soon as you guys walk out of this building, guess what? The church is gone. Did you know that? The church is gone. And do you know where the sanctuary is? It's sitting in the pew. You are the sanctuary. That's what Paul is saying. Your body now is the temple of the Holy Spirit. No longer does He dwell in buildings or tents or anything like that. He dwells in you by His Spirit. And listen, your body's not just a temple on Sunday. The Holy Spirit lives in you if you are a believer in Jesus Christ 24/7. That means then that every waking moment of my life, of your life, our bodies are to be a place of worship. I'm going to give you a little test and see if you understand what I'm saying. I'm going to give you two statements and you listen to both and then tell me which is true. A, we are to come to church to worship. B, we are to bring our worship to church. B, hey, good. You guys are good, man. That's it. Boom. A, you get an A for the day. You don't come to church to worship. You don't have to go to church to worship. Your body is a place of worship because, again, it is the temple. That's what Paul is saying of the Holy Spirit. You see, when you go back again to the Old Testament, the temple served only one purpose, and that was the place where a people worshiped. In the Old Testament, then, God had a temple for His people. But in the New Testament, as we approach what Paul is talking about here, we see that God has a people for His temple. Your body is the temple where the Spirit of God lives every moment, every day. Now, that can really help us in some ways, and it helps us, number one, look at the way we look at our bodies. We look at them a little differently. And you know, when it comes to our bodies, people tend to go to two extremes. And I think that you'll agree with me on this. If you listen here, see, some people completely ignore their bodies. They eat what they want. They drink what they want. They smoke what they want. They don't get any exercise at all, and it's just sort of the let themselves go. In fact, I read the story. It reminds me of a story I read about a man who went to visit his doctor. The doctor examined him, and he was a young guy, you know, in his mid-30s. And he said, after examination, "John, I'm recommending that you have a bypass." John, to his surprise, said, "Bypass? I'm only 35. The doctor said, "Yes. You need to bypass pizza, nachos, cookies, hamburgers, and French fries, ice cream, and Haagen-Dazs. You know, you need to bypass all that stuff." Now, we laugh, but there are serious health implications in this passage of Scripture. Since our bodies are the temples, as Paul has said here, of the Holy Spirit, then you know what that tells me? That tells me that we ought to do all we can to keep our body as healthy as we can. Not just in order to try to live longer or even live healthier necessarily. That isn't to be the priority, but to live holier lives. So on the one hand, you got the people that ignore their body. On the other hand now, there are people who go to the other extreme and they idolize their bodies. There are those who run and pump iron and eat vitamins and wheat germ and bananas and drink smoothies. They idolize their bodies. They're all about their bodies, but they ignore their spirits. They skip church, but they won't skip going to the gym. They may not read their Bible, but they'll get their cardio in, and they know all about what kind of powders and vitamins and what kind of carbohydrates they should have and what kind of carbohydrates they should avoid. And they spend hours studying what it is to get their bodies healthy, but they don't know the first thing about their Bibles. That's messed up, man. That's idolizing the body. Listen. A bodily exercise profits. In other words, Paul's saying you should do it. But remember, it only profits a little. How's that? Well, because no matter how hard you work, know this, it's going down. Okay? Work as you will, you know, and I'm not saying don't, but it's still, the outer man is perishing. Okay? So while it helps a little, it's only a little, and it's only temporal. Okay, it's only temporal. It's not going to last. We need to take care of the inner man as well. That doesn't mean ignore the one and do the other. It means balance, you see, which is the hardest thing in life, to balance. We tend to go to extremes, don't we? Even in the church, you know, there's the extreme Pentecostals where they don't read their Bibles hardly and they're hanging from the chandeliers and every service is a cheer. Come on, come on. Can you say amen, people? Come on. And man, boy, you feel so good while you're there and everybody's excited. But when you walk out, you go, I don't even know what was going on in there, but it was fun. But I don't have any idea what he said. Then you got the services where, boom, they're just staunch. They never have any fun, and they're just beat you up with a Bible every week, just slap you across the face, and you know, you got to stop this and stop that and stop this and stop that. And, you know, and so serious and so liturgical, and you're going, ah. You know, that balance, I believe, over the years, you know what? Only the Spirit can bring that about. We need the Holy Spirit to give us balance in life. You see, we are to worship God and to use our bodies to that end and to give Him every part of us. Every part of your body, see, is just another room in God's temple. And that's why we ought to let Him have the whole thing, not keep Him out of any area of our lives, but to let Him into every area of our lives. That's why you read verses like, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our God, our Maker, in Psalm 95:6. Or Psalm 47:1, where it says, clap your hand, all ye people, shout to God with a voice of joy or triumph. Psalm 134, verse 2 says, lift up your hands to the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Those all are using our bodies to express our worship to God. Listen, if you're a follower of Christ today, you come to this church, if you don't use every part of your body that you can in your own way to worship God, whether it's in singing with your voice, clapping with your hands, giving full attention with your ears and your eyes, you are dishonoring God's temple and not fulfilling your reasonable service, which is your worship of God. Remember God, where God lives. He lives in you. God's address is not Calvary Chapel of the High Desert, 14740 Eucalyptus Street, Hesperia, California. That's not his address. God's address is Dennis Davenport. It's Matt Moss. It's Debbie Gilson. He doesn't want to use your body either as just a weekend retreat, okay? It's not like, okay, can I use your body for the weekend? Yeah, you can use it on Sunday, Lord. I got it on Saturday, all right. It's not a rental thing. That's not what he's suggesting. Of the first two things I told you are true, that I'm to sacrifice my body for holiness and I'm to see my body as God's house. Then the third thing, you see, naturally follows. I am to surrender my body for God's honor. You see, he says here in verse 20, for you are not your own, or at the end of verse 19, you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That's the bottom line. You see, a big part of worship is surrendering my body every day for God's honor. Everything that God made, he made with plan and purpose. Your body is made and designed to glorify God. That's what Isaiah is saying in Isaiah 43:7 when he says, everyone who is called by my name, the Lord speaking, I have created for my glory. Everyone who I've called, I've created to bring glory to my name. I put it all together. If my body is not my body and it belongs to God, if my body is to be sacrificed for His holiness, and if all of my body is to be used for God's glory, then that has significant implications for my sex life, my social life, and for my spiritual life. And it says something about the movies that I allow my eyes to see, the music that I allow my ears to hear, the words that I allow my mouth to say, the food that I allow my body to eat, and the things that I allow my body to drink. That's why Paul said, so whether you eat in 1 Corinthians 10:31, a few chapters later here, he says, so whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all what? For the glory of God. You see, we exist, we are left on planet Earth once we're saved to bring glory to God. So everything you say then with your lips, you see with your eyes, you hear with your ears, you taste with your mouth, and you do with your hands, everywhere you walk with your feet, it should bring glory and honor to God. Now we have a choice one day a week whether or not we're going to come to church. I'm glad you're here today. You made the right choice. Listen, you really don't have a choice 7 days a week whether or not you're going to worship. You are going to worship. You are going to worship. You were born to worship. The question is who and what are you going to worship? Everybody worships something every day because that's the way we were wired. The question is who is it that you're worshiping? And what I want you to see is that the physical side of worship tells us that worship is not simply an event. It is a lifestyle. It's not something we do once a week on Sunday. It's something that we do every day of our lives. And God is telling us that He wants all of our bodies, everything that we are, sacrificed to His holiness, seen as His house, and surrendered for His honor and glory. And with that in mind, that causes us to ask some legitimate questions, to do a little examination. Okay, so let's do a little examination. Are your hands doing what they should be doing? Are you allowing your eyes to look at the things they should, or are those things that you're looking at that you've taken in through your eyes this week, things that you shouldn't be viewing? What words are coming out of your mouth? What's your attitude? Do you keep your mind reserved for those things, as we studied in Philippians on Wednesday nights, chapter 3 a couple of weeks ago. Is your mind focused on the things that are good, the things that are of lovely, the things that are of good report? If there be anything praiseworthy, the Bible says, think on these things. What are the things that are occupying your mind? Most likely, they are the result of what you've allowed to be seen with your eyes and heard with your ears. And you see, the question is, are you pursuing passionately purity and holiness? Exercising your mind, and the Bible says there, going on in Romans 12, that we should have our minds transformed by the Word of God. You see, are we filling them with the Word? Are we filling them with the things of the world? Listen, man, I'm not saying that we don't live in the world, but listen, we're in the world, but we should not be of the world. And listen, whether our body is old or young, whether it's healthy or diseased, whether it's strong or weak, you see, God says we're to use it to worship Him. That's the primary function of these bodies. I want to close with a couple of illustrations that demonstrate what it means to live a life of worship and understand what we've been called to. The one is told of a Chinese Christian who was moved with compassion when many of his countrymen were taken to work as coolies, which is the Asian equivalent to a slave in the South African mines. This man, though well off, in order to be able to witness and share Christ with his fellow Chinese, sold himself to the mining company to work alongside these coolies for 5 years. Eventually, he died there, still a slave, but not until he had won more than 200 men to Christ. You see, that man was a living sacrifice in the fullest sense. Another one is in the mid-17th century, a fairly well-known Englishman, you'll know his name when I read it, was captured by Algerian pilots and made a slave. While a slave, he founded a church. Eventually, his brother arranged for his release, to which this man refused the freedom and vowed to remain and to live as a slave until he died in order to continue serving the church he had founded. And today, a plaque in an Algerian church bears his name, David Livingston, the renowned and noble missionary to Africa. He wrote these words in his journal speaking of his life. He says, "People talk of the sacrifice I have made in spending so much of my life in Africa. Can that be called sacrifice," he says, "which is simply paid back as a small part of the great debt owing to our God, which we can never repay? Is that a sacrifice which brings its own reward of healthful activity, the consciousness of doing good, peace of mind, and bright hope of a glorious destiny hereafter? Away with such a word, such a view, such a thought. Is emphatically no sacrifice. Say rather," he says, "that it is a privilege. Anxiety, sickness, suffering, or danger now and then, with a foregoing of the common conveniences and charities of this life, may make us pause and cause the spirit to waver and sink. But let this only be for a moment. All of these are nothing when compared with the glory which shall hereafter be revealed in and for us. I have never made a sacrifice. Of this we ought not talk when we remember the great sacrifice which Jesus made, who left his Father's throne on high to give himself for us. Precious people, we are expending and spending our time and our energy and the best on the wrong stuff. God help us to present our bodies, all that we have and all that we are, to God as a living sacrifice. Holy. Living not to be accepted by the crowd, but living to be accepted by the one who has already accepted us because of the work of the cross. You see, Jesus, holy and acceptable to Him, a precious people, it is only reasonable. It only makes sense. It is healthy for you mentally, physically, and otherwise. And if you are presenting your members, you see, your body to serve mammon or serve God, you see, serve Satan and self or serve Jesus, your Savior, the choice is yours. But know this, if you try and live in that dichotomy, well, I'm going to give Him this part of my life, but I'm not going to give Him that. You may still be on your way to heaven, but I'll tell you what, you're going to be a miserable man or woman on planet Earth. You'll lack the confidence, you'll lack the clarity of thought, you'll lack the conviction, and you'll waste the gift of life that God has given you. Worship Him with your body. Let Him do His work in your life and live to bring Him glory, so that when you get to the end of it, you can say with Paul, you know, hey, I've finished my course. I've fought the fight. Every one of you has a course that God has set you on. And may you bring glory to Him, and may you be fixed on the right side of the fight that you may win. Let's pray.